This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go and talk about another case that we continue to follow. The medical examiner who performed Nolan Wells' autopsy, Dr. Stacy Turner, Mississippi's chief medical examiner, has a few skeletons in her closet. Ruled a previous in-custody death undetermined, despite her own findings documenting neck injuries consistent with deputy compression. Three independent pathologists reviewed the same evidence, called it a homicide. A grand jury used Turner's ruling and closed the case. One of the deputies at that arrest, Hunter Elward, was never charged. He walked free until federal prosecutors caught up with him and for something else entirely. Elward was part of the Rankin County Goon Squad, a group of deputies who broke into a home, assaulted two black men, shot one of them in the mouth, and tried to cover it up. Federal charges, federal convictions, federal prison. Same sheriff's department, same deputies, and the medical examiner who helped them avoid accountability for the first death is the same one sitting on Nolan Wells' sealed autopsy right now. Great. Great. This is just kind of like, you know, the people you put in places of power, if they have track records like this, let's not you know, go into adding curiosity or conspiracy where there doesn't need to be. But I understand why there would be some curiosity and people wondering of conspiratorial thoughts, considering the track record of Mississippi. I'm not saying that that's what's going on here, because we, the end of the day right now, we just don't know the answer to that question. I'm not saying his friends had anything to do with it. I personally don't feel like they did. But it's optics. Optics matter. Optics are important. Why is this person the chief medical examiner still for the state of Mississippi with this sort of shit behind her? Jen, how do you think that affects this case?
Not good. Look, Giglio Brady. Giglio Brady exists for a reason. And what that is to say is, whether it's a law enforcement officer or an ME, if you have issues in your past, anything that even rubs in the direction of not being forthright in your findings, which that case did, right? Yeah. I mean, it was convenient. Wasn't it convenient that it was just undetermined? That's always a convenient. When I'm always with the ME going, don't give me undetermined. Just give me what it is. But, you know, a lot of it, we saw it in the Karen Reed case. Undetermined.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And it just messes everything up for everybody, because you have an ME that can't make a decision. In this case, or in that case, I mean... that was a bad situation, and I can't believe she is the one. Is she the one, though, that performed it, or the one?
Yes.
She actually performed it.
From what I understand,
I could be wrong,
but from everything I've absorbed, that's where my mind is at this moment. I mean, this is obviously, there's so much stupidity here. With the local law enforcement, the sheriff immediately coming out, we don't think it was this. You don't even have any evidence to say either way yet. Shut the fuck up. And then when you do have the body, you pick the person that's got this track record and this skeleton in her closet coming along. Gee, nobody's going to question that shit. I mean, what?
Tony, poor Tony's off the rails. Okay, Tony. A couple of things. She might just be the chief, and they have put her in an administrative role more.
Yeah.
You know, she an overarching role, but she didn't precisely perform the autopsy.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen that report, and I don't think it's out there.
It's not.
So because of that, we don't know who was the hands-on person cracking the chest, cutting everything open, weighing all the parts, doing all the work. We really don't. She signs off on it. Typically, that's how it works. You don't have the chief performing the autopsy. I'm hoping that's the case here. I'm hoping she's more of an executive role with her hands on anything anymore. I'm not saying that mitigates a wrongdoing she did in the past. I'm just saying, as long as this was done by somebody else and it's their decision, I think that it will look much better.
And also, I'm just hoping still that there's congruency between that medical examiner and the independent one. You know, I'm hoping that there's congruence here. I'm hoping with all the effort they're making to dig out everything from cell phones to GPS data to examining everything, that everything just keeps coming up to tragic accident and not something much worse and darker than that.
Credibility is going to be everything here. So I'm not, and I'm not saying that she got anything wrong. I don't believe she wasn't criminally found wrong with anything that she did in the past either. It's just, here's what happened. And here's the case that she was involved with. And here's how it turned out with the goon squad. And it doesn't look good. So I'm not saying that she did anything wrong here, but even if it was done by the book, perfect, she's the one, her office is the one who has the neck, who has the piece that nobody has the answer to. The independent autopsy doesn't have the neck. And I understand, yep, this is how it works. They typically, you can only unpeel an orange once, and they have that part. But when you have this appearance of impropriety in the past, and you're the one that holds that information, even if it does come out that says, well, we got nothing here, or inconclusive, and that doesn't show anything, nobody's going to believe it. And rightfully so, even if it is accurate. I mean, it just seems like such a setup for failure when you're trying to get to the truth, if that's the goal at the end of the day for all these agencies, and I hope to God it is. I'm not saying that she's any sort of conspirator in this, trying to cover anything up, but my God, optics matter. And it just feels like there's so many of these agencies we've seen recently that seem to forget that they serve the public and that the public listens to what they say, and their words and their decisions matter. Why is this such an elusive thought to people in these positions?
I'm going to push back a little bit on this whole autopsy thing, because they have the skin.
Yeah.
They have specifically said there were no contusions, there's no lacerations, there's no bruising, there's none of that. There is the red part on the back of the head, which I still, and I posted a picture, I don't know if you saw it, showing where that body would rest. Yes, the blood isn't circulating, but the blood pools, there's lividity. There's,
and that makes sense, and that's there, but it's this part, it's the neck.
Right, but they had that.
But the office that has it has this history.
Oh, no. So they have it. They don't have the interior.
Yeah.
So you would have expected to see strangulation marks, bruising, but none of that was there.
Okay.
No blood force of any nature on that body.
On the skin. So, they don't have the muscle. Right. Okay.
They have the skin, you know, which is the largest organ
see.
In our body.
Okay.
So they have that they've examined, and they've said nothing there. But it's just so interesting how I think when they presented the independent autopsy, which, first of all, number one, the person who did the autopsy conveniently didn't want to talk about it because or wanted to, you know what I mean? It wasn't good for their side for him to come out. That's really who we needed to hear from, because Crump can't even. OK, sorry. Because it would have been better for our understanding.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting how they cherry picked, but you know, this was gotten this. We all know that. But if you don't have bruising here, how can your larynx and your trachea be affected? You can't just go under the skin. So to me, they just kind of sort of keep out those important facts.
It's so, I mean, it's going to go to the grand jury. Everything's sealed until it does. I think the likelihood the grand jury is going to recommend, you know, moving to trial, I think it's high probability just because of everything that's going on. And so I think everything will come out there.
But you need somebody, though. You
Did
need
you
to.
Say you think it will?
Only because of all the noise. I don't.
But who are they going to point at? That's the thing.
Well, I think they're going to go on a fishing expedition, because I'm just getting that tenor of this, because when you see the level that people are going to dig up, that's why I'm kind of smiling over it. It's like, of course they're finding out that there's an incongruency here or behavior here, because But I always look at this. How long did it take him to figure that out? I mean, because you've had so many eyes poking at this for so long. So I think it comes down to this. It comes down to Crum and his guys. How much can they put? They want it to go to trial. They want a trial. That's you know they do. They don't want it. They want a trial. So I think it's going to come down to what can they dig up? What can they poke at? And it, between now and the grand jury, can they find someone to poke at to put it on them? That's what I think they're doing.
Sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
No, I was going to say the grand jury, in my opinion, is going on now. How the grand jury typically works is literally as you get evidence, you bring it in, you sit there for 15 minutes and then you leave and then you go the next day. And as things come in, you present over and over and they take it all in. There is no suspect.
I agree.
The people that have had a finger pointed at them, they're suing. Yeah. I am going bravo.
Yep. I agree.
I agree.
To align these kids. Without a scintilla of evidence. There is not a scintilla of evidence. I've listened to that damn tape over and over and over again where they're making up. They said Nolan. P.S. Nolan wasn't even on the boat. We have the pictures and we have a sighting of him at 4:30, I think it was, on the beach. So how was he on the boat at 4 when the call came in? It's all total lies. You can listen to it. It's because somebody said, oh my God, yeah, they were taking on water and the boat was sinking. That's a good reason to say, oh, my God. You think this kid is going to be calling up to, hey, I mean, he's obviously impaired. He's like,
I know. I listened to it.
Oh, toad. Oh, I got a dead body on it.
It wasn't congruent to covering up a murder like that. That call was not that. I mean, that was not what that sounded like. It sounded like a dopey kid who had too many White Claws and probably sounds fairly dopey on a good day. But that's that age. You know, again, that's everybody's young and dumb once. He's living his young and dumb life, you know, but it's I agree there. How much of this is going to be determined by the digital evidence at the end of the day, meaning Snapchat coming back and saying either they say somebody deleted stuff off of this or there just does nothing that ever went on. Like he wasn't using his phone. That's why there's nothing there. I mean, if it comes back and it shows that shit was deleted off his phone, then you got a case. But if there's nothing that comes back that shows anything was deleted, is that kind of put this dead in the water if you don't have any other like physical evidence pointing to any sort of conspiratorial murderous behavior amongst these people?
Well, I think it's going to be way broader than snaps being erased because snaps erase on their own. And again,
Snap will tell you whether that's what happened or not. That's
right.
It'll
tell you, but how about this? I'm out drinking. I'm doing a line of cocaine. I'm with my buddies. And then I'm like, I'm not putting this on there. I mean, that's my reason why I don't think there was anything on there. But your point that you're trying to make is this. What if there is something nefarious in the whole digital realm, which remember could be everything from, let's get Nolan, or geez, something negative like that, something that shows something. So if you look at the whole digital spectrum, that's what they're going to look through. And certainly if there is nothing on the digital spectrum, which could be so many things, right? They're talk about who's fishing is, the family, right? They're fishing. They've trying to go after all the kids' social media, all their TikToks and all of this. So nevertheless, Tony, that's just one factor. I think the medical examination, look, what if he OD'd? Nobody's even throwing that out there as a possibility. Listen, this kid is nothing but a great kid from everything I've seen, but I think they were all out there partying and look at late vibes. Mistakes are made. I'm not saying that's what was made. I'm saying you got to consider it. And could that be the reason why after the autopsy, because I let everybody know the day that autopsy was done, which was right after the event, the detectives were there. Mm-hmm. I went to all mine. You're right there because you're literally asking, what do I got here, doc? Am I looking at an accident? What am I looking at?
And I would think also because the parents are claiming that there was things deleted from Nolan's phone and to the point that we're talking about on the digital investigation going on right now, I would think in order for that to hold weight, so even if they could say that, that would mean that you're either going to see a lot of things that went sideways that they're going to use on an investigation from everyone else's digitals, or there's going to be a lot of deletions on everyone else's phones as well. And we haven't had any leakage that anyone else's phones have had deletions or anything else. I mean, and you, again, there's so many people involved with this. And that's why I'm actually pleasantly surprised there's not more leakage, that things are amiss, that there's a riot, there's incongruencies. I mean, when you have that many people, the more people you involve, the much less chance of conspiracies, because people will talk and they fight back when they're wrongly accused, like the one kid is doing that. Good for him. But I would think that that's the way it was going to be with the digital stuff.
We're in a month now. I mean, we're pretty close to a month now since this horrific, you know, whatever it was that happened, where Nolan lost his life, took place. I would think that if there was anything to leak out, if somehow that this group of friends is really secretly Klan members and they were ready to, you know, off their friend on the boat when they were out partying one day, I think we would have heard about it by now. I think somebody would have leaked that. We don't see anything of that sort that has come out. I know, like, there's been people over the weekend, like, be brave and share what you have. Yeah, if you have something, share it. If it's something, yes, be brave if it exists. But just saying be brave doesn't mean there's anything to share. Doesn't mean there's anything actually there to begin with. Do guilty people, do somebody who has something to do with something horrific like this, open up a civil lawsuit against people? I mean, the civil suits, you have a hell of a lot more leeway to investigate phones, subpoena people, depose people. There's all sorts of shit you can do in a civil lawsuit to really get to the nitty gritty of what's being accused here, what some people are doing against these kids. If you have something to hide, I don't think you're necessarily opening up that door on a legal level to do that. But that appears to be what one of the friends is doing, to say, come at me, go for it, I'll see you in court. That doesn't seem like a guilty person to me. How about you guys?
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at the statements that have been given by these kids, they're coming forward without legal representation.
Yeah.
They are really putting themselves out there, and their parents are allowing that. And it's for a reason. And I think it's because they have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And I think they've come off very honest. But I did want to caveat one thing. I watched very closely the origination of these things were erased. And the mother actually says that they are not, that he normally takes videos and snaps and they weren't there. It is the attorney Crump that exacerbates that, says, see, they were erased.
Yep.
So that was the metamorphosis, what from really the mom said to, you know, the public outcry and belief that things are erased. So I don't think we're going to find anything erased, but we'll wait and see.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, we just don't know the answer to that. And once we have the answer to that, it is what it is. I mean, these tech companies don't have a dog in the fight. They're going to come out and say what they're going to, what it shows. And we'll see how everyone responds. We'll keep following this. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We would love for you to weigh in. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case, is her podcast. Get it wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Just search Break the Case, Jennifer Coffendaffer, and you will find that. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books, an audiobook. Leave a review there on Amazon. Much appreciated right there. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Until next time, for Jennifer, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Oh, there's some questions. Oh, there's some questions in the Nolan Wells case. Here's a question that nobody in Mississippi's government seems interested in answering. If the person responsible for determining how a black man died documented injuries to his neck consistent with compression by the deputies who arrested him and then ruled it undetermined, why does that person still have a job? Three independent pathologists reviewed the same evidence and called it a homicide. It's not a gotcha. It's not inflammatory. It's a basic institutional question that any functioning system should ask, and Mississippi hasn't asked it, which tells you everything you need to know about the framework. Nolan Wells' autopsy is sitting inside right now. That's a different case we're talking about there. Same medical examiner. There's a lot of questions in that case. A lot of evidence, actually, in that case that chose to extreme improprieties, criminal behavior. The Goon Squad was the name of the officers involved in that one. They have since been found criminally responsible for that death, which that medical examiner has labeled or did label undetermined. Same medical examiner that we're dealing with in the Nolan Wells case. Now, I'm not here saying that anything improprietary was done in terms of the Nolan Wells case. I'm saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because when you have a track record, when you have a history that is shaded by things like that, whether you intended it to be or not. And I'm not here to say that the medical examiner is intentionally trying to do anything wrong. It doesn't matter, because people will draw their conclusions, and you have a history that looks questionable, to put it nicely. Let me take you through how we got here and your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through it. Anybody who's like, why can't people just accept that maybe this was an accident? And maybe it was. It may have. I hear you. But why can't we get there like that? Why can't we just go, let's just take their word for it? It's because of this. It's because of this. Again, let me take you through how we got here. And I do welcome your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. July of 2021, let's go back in time. Braxton, Mississippi. Damian Carman was 29 years old. He was black. Rankin County Sheriff's deputy showed up at his mother's house because a neighbor claimed that Cameron had punched a wall. His family says no damage existed. What happens next was documented by hospital records, sheriff's reports, and the state's own autopsy. Deputies repeatedly used tasers on Cameron. At least one deputy pressed a knee into his back. Cameron told them he couldn't breathe. He was transported to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. His face was swollen and bloody, almost beyond recognition. When he reached the Mississippi State Medical Examiner's office, the medical examiner documented internal bleeding on the side of his neck, an injury pattern consistent with compression of the upper back of the neck area. She documented the swelling. She documented the bleeding. She wrote it all down. And then Dr. Stacy Turner, Mississippi's chief medical examiner, ruled the cause of death undetermined. Her stated reason in the report, due to lack of access to information involving the circumstances of this death, the cause and manner are best classified as undetermined. A grand jury relied in part on that finding and declined to indict the deputies. Case effectively closed there. And one of those deputies, Hunter Elward, walked out of that process a free man. Hold on to that for a minute. In 2023, the New York Times and Mississippi Today asked three nationally recognized forensic pathologists to independently review Cameron's case. Same autopsy photos, same hospital records, same sheriff's reports, same eyewitness statements. Dr. Michael Baden, former New York City chief medical examiner, testified in the O.J. Simpson trial, performed the independent autopsy of George Floyd, looked at the evidence, his conclusion, homicide, absolutely. Cameron died of asphyxia because of neck compression. Dr. Zanik Hua, chief of forensic pathology at Rutgers, put it more bluntly. He said there was really nothing to be undetermined about. A third pathologist reached the same conclusion, 3 for 3. All homicides, same evidence, same body, same documented injuries. Turner saw what they saw. She had what they had. They called it a homicide without hesitation. She wrote a word that let the deputies walk. I'm not going to sit here and tell you why she wrote it. I don't know. Maybe she genuinely believed the evidence was inconclusive at that moment in time. Maybe the circumstances she cited, a lack of access to certain information, were a legitimate limitation in her view at that time. I don't know the answer to that question. I'd love to hear. I'd love for some context on it. I'm not saying she's doing anything criminal or nefarious. I'm not. I don't know the answer, but I'm telling you what was said and what the findings were. And be them as they may, let the facts lay where they are, and where they lay, they look pretty shitty and shady. What I can tell you is what that ruling did. It gave a grand jury permission to close the file, and that's exactly what the grand jury did. Now, the name Hunter Elwood, the deputy who was at Damon Cameron's arrest and walked free after the grand jury relied on Turner's undetermined finding. Elwood is in federal prison now, not for Cameron's death. Nobody was ever actually charged for that, for torture. Elwood was part of the Rankin County Goon Squad, a group of deputies who broke into a home, assaulted two black men, shot one of them in the mouth, and tried to cover it up. Federal charges there, federal convictions, federal prison, same sheriff's department that employed the deputies at Cameron's arrest. And the death that should have been called a homicide, according to three national experts who reviewed the evidence, who ruled undetermined by the same office that's now sitting on Nolan Wells' autopsy results. That's the framework. Not one bad actor, a framework. The deputies who used tasers and knelt on a man until he stopped breathing, they're part of it. The medical examiner who documented the injuries and then wrote undetermined, she's part of it. A grand jury that took that ruling and closed the case, they're part of it. And the system that looked at all this afterward and changed nothing, that's the framework. Nobody reviewed Turner's office after the Cameron findings. Nobody convened an independent panel. Nobody asked whether there was patterns in how deaths involving black residents were being classified. Nobody did anything. Turner kept her job. Kept citing rulings. The next family that landed on her table had to decide whether to trust the process or find their own pathologist. Every family since has chosen the pathologist, and I can't blame them. September of 25, Trey Reed, 21 years old, black student at Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi, found hanging from a tree on campus near the pickleball courts at 7 in the morning. Mississippi has more than 650 recorded lynchings, the highest number in American history. That's not ancient history being invoked for dramatic effect. That's the context of black family processes when they're told their son was found hanging from a tree in Mississippi and the state ruled it self-inflicted. Turner's office affirmed the ruling. No injuries inconsistent with the finding. Reed's family doesn't believe it. Their attorney demanded surveillance footage. The family says Reed had been home with them days before and showed no signs of distress. They hired Ben Crump, the same attorney who represented Damon Cameron's family. They commissioned an independent autopsy funded by Colin Kaepernick. Those results have not been made public. Here's where I want to be careful and honest. Turner's ruling in the Reed case has not been independently contradicted. No outside pathologist has publicly said she got it wrong. It's possible her office is right, but the family doesn't trust it. And why would they? The last time a family challenged this office with independent experts, 3 out of 3 said the office got it wrong. And the man whose death should have triggered an investigation, whose neck was bleeding internally while deputies were on top of him, never got one. The deputy walked free until the federal government caught him torturing people in a completely separate case. That's not a reason to trust the system. That's a reason to go around it. Advocates have also pointed to a 2022 death of Channon Wilson, a 13-year-old black boy whose death was ruled an accidental drowning, reportedly without an autopsy. His family alleges he was thrown into the water and that his body was mishandled, including claims it was embalmed without consent. Important distinction here. There's no publicly confirmed documentation linking Turner's office directly to Wilson's case. The connection is drawn by advocates, not confirmed by reporting, and that matters. I'm not going to overstate what the evidence shows, but the families navigating the system don't have the luxury of parsing which cases connect to the office. They see a pattern. The pattern is that black people die under questionable circumstances in Mississippi, and the institutions responsible for answering how keep producing answers that the families don't believe. This is not the 1960s. I need to say that plainly, because sometimes when people hear Mississippi and black families not trusting the system, they file it under history. They picture fire hoses and lunch counters and a world that doesn't exist anymore. Damian Cameron was 2021. Trey Reid was 2025. Nolan Wells is right now. The Goon Squad federal torture convictions were 2024. The framework that failed Damian Cameron's family is the same framework handling Nolan Wells' case. Same state, same institution, same patterns. Different decades, same results. And look, I'm not here to say that anything happened to Nolan Wells that was criminal. We don't know. We don't know the answer to that question yet. It could have. Accidents happen. Just because you have a framework like this, a toxic framework like this in your state, does not eviscerate the possibility of accidents happening and unfortunate deaths occurring that are nothing to do with race or hate or murder. It can happen. But there's a damn good reason that people ask questions, and it's not ancient history. And if you really want to truly protect everyone involved, I mean everyone involved here that is innocent, that had nothing to do with the death of Nolan Wells, well, I don't know. Maybe start cleaning house. Maybe start putting people in positions of power that can examine things and give rulings that matter in things. Maybe start putting people in those positions that don't have questionable track records on their decision-making skills and their rulings. Because again, I'm not saying that she did anything impropriety or improper or whatever. I mean, I don't know all the answers to that. But look, the appearance is there. The decisions, the rulings have been made and they've been questioned and vehemently disagreed with by other experts. So when you have a case that's getting this sort of attention to it, and you're choosing who's going to be handling various elements of it, maybe don't have people employed that people are going to look at and immediately discount before they even say a word. We don't know what the medical examiner's findings are in the Nolan Wells case officially yet. We have no idea. That's not public. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter to a lot of people. Why? Because of decisions like this. That's why. And that doesn't mean that whatever the findings are couldn't be 100% accurate. It means you're not going to take the information from someone who has a track record and a history of making questionable decisions, in some people's opinions, as fact, as truth, as having the weight that it should have. Now, that doesn't protect anybody. It doesn't protect Nolan's friends who say they had absolutely nothing to do with this. That doesn't help them. That puts more questions on them from an angry mob that wants answers, even if the answers are not nefarious. People are going to go down that road because you have someone in there who's connected in ways, shapes, and forms to what others would view as questionable decisions, questionable rulings, and very specifically involving black people who have died under questionable circumstances. That's what you get. You're not protecting anybody. You're creating more chaos. You're creating more questions for a family that's trying to just get answers about their dead child. And also, look, for these kids that claimed they had nothing to do with the death of Nolan Wells. You're creating hell for them. You're injecting doubt into their lives. Doubt from other people about their stories because of the decisions of some of the others that have decision-making power within the government of Mississippi. Which brings us to Nolan. July 2026, 18 years old, black football player, Southwest Mississippi Community College, by everyone's account, a lovely young man who had his entire history or in his entire future ahead of him. His body was found in the water off Horn Island on July 4th. It was found in the water after a July 4th boat party with friends. He was the only one who didn't come home. I want to be clear about something. We don't know what happened to Nolan Wells. We don't know if his death was accidental. We don't know if it wasn't. His friends say he chose to stay behind on the island to talk to a girl, and maybe that's true. Maybe it isn't. Witnesses reported heavy drinking on the island. Maybe he was intoxicated and ended up in the water alone, 8 miles from shore on an uninhabited barrier island at night with no phone. That's a scenario that ends in tragedy without anyone doing anything wrong. We don't have answers yet. And the reason we don't have answers is that the institution responsible for providing them has sealed the results behind a grand jury it hasn't scheduled in a state where the medical examiner's track record is already under fire, overseen by a DA who won't set a timeline and a governor who's more interested in attacking the family's attorney than demanding transparency. Dr. Turner performed Nolan's autopsy on July 7th, one day after recovery. She had everything, the intact airway, the lungs, the throat structures, the stomach contents, the best preserved version of the evidence that will ever exist. The independent autopsy performed 2 weeks later by Dr. Roger Mitchell, former D.C. chief medical examiner funded by Kaepernick, came back undetermined pending investigation. Mitchell couldn't rule out non-accidental factors, but he also couldn't examine the airway, the lungs, or the throat because the state had already removed it. The state's toxicology was never shared with him. The attorney representing Nolan's family is Ben Crump, same attorney who represented Damon Cameron's family, same attorney representing Trey Reed's family. Three cases connected to scrutiny of this medical examiner's office. Same civil rights attorney every time, same pattern every time, a family that doesn't trust the state's findings and goes out and commissions its own examination. And look, the reality is just because Ben Crump connects himself to a case doesn't mean there's something criminal. Ben Crump will attach himself to a case that he thinks is going to get a lot of attention. That's what he does. There's been many like him in history. He's from a long line of folks of that nature. So here's the argument, and I want to make it as clearly as I can. I'm not accusing Dr. Stacey Turner of doing anything wrong in Nolan Wells' case. I don't know what her autopsy found. Nobody outside the DA's office does. It's entirely possible that her findings are scientifically flawless, that the toxicology, the tissue analysis, and the cause of death determination are exactly what the evidence supports. And it won't matter. Because even a perfect autopsy from this office in this state, inside this framework, will not be believed. Not by the Wells family, not by Ben Crump, not by the public watching this case. And it's not the family's fault. That is the system's fault. The system built this credibility problem by failing to act when the Cameron case exposed it. Three national pathologists said your office got it wrong. A deputy your ruling helped walk free is now in federal prison for torturing people, and you challenged nothing. No review, no independent panel, no accountability. You just kept going and expected the next family to trust you. Come on, Mississippi. The framework is the problem. Not one medical examiner, not one sheriff, not one DA, the framework. A sheriff who calls it no foul play within an hour of recovering a body before the autopsy or the toxicology exists. A DA who seals the results and won't set a date for the grand jury. A medical examiner whose most high-profile prior ruling was contradicted by three independent experts and who was never reviewed for it. A governor who responds to a grieving family's demand for transparency by accusing their attorney of stoking division. And I'm not here to say that Ben Crump hasn't stoked division. He has. He's tweeted out shit that's not even real. Factually incorrect. That's not responsible attorney work. But that's the framework we're dealing with. Every piece of it is functioning exactly the way it was designed to function, which is to close cases, not to open them, to produce conclusions, not to invite scrutiny. And when a black family in Mississippi asks whether that framework can be trusted to tell them the truth about how their child died, the answer, based on the track record, is that they have no reason to believe it can. If Mississippi wants families to trust the system has to earn it, and you don't earn trust by keeping people in positions of power whose track record raise questions about every ruling they sign. You earn it by cleaning house. You earn it by convening independent reviews. When three national experts say your office got a death classification obviously wrong, you earn it by releasing autopsy results transparently instead of sealing them behind secret proceedings with no timeline. You earn it by treating a mother's demand for answers as legitimate instead of accusing her attorney of playing politics. You don't get to fail Damian Cameron's family and produce a ruling that three independent pathologists called wrong. You don't get to watch a deputy you helped walk free go to federal prison for torturing people. You don't get to change nothing about the office and then ask the next family to trust you. That's not how trust works. That's not how institutions work. And every family that hires their own pathologist and retains their own attorney is telling you exactly that. Damian Cameron's mother hoped the autopsy would reveal what happened to her son. She got undetermined, while three independent experts said homicide. The Trey Reed's family learned more about their son's death from the news than from the people who found him. Christine Wells Wansley buried her 18-year-old son on July 20th and sent preservation of evidence letters to the sheriff, the DA, the coroner, and the state medical examiner that same day. She's subpoenaing five tech companies for Nolan's digital record. She's building her own parallel investigation because the official one has given her no reason to believe it's working for her. Four black families in Mississippi are looking for their own answers, not because they wanted to, because the framework that was supposed to deliver those answers has a track record that makes trust impossible. It's not an accusation against any one person. That's an indictment of a system. And until the people with the authority to fix it decide that the track record matters more than the politics, nothing changes. Until they remove the question marks from positions of power, the next family will do what every family before them has done: hire their own expert, retain their own lawyer, and hope that the truth survives whatever Mississippi puts on paper. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there. When I read about this weekend, holy shit. It sums it up pretty clearly, doesn't it? If your institutions have this track record to this day, yes, no one's going to trust you. And that's why we are where we are with this case. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We still don't know. We don't have answers. Someone does, and that might be a medical examiner. But how are we supposed to trust that medical examiner when this is the history? Substack, YouTube, links are in the description. Love for you to weigh in there. And if you've not done so yet, be sure to check out the podcast. There's the link. There's a QR code right there on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube. Just go do to that and take us wherever you get podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Press subscribe so you can get access to all of our reporting all day long in audio form. You can take us with you on the go in podcast form, outside of video form. Trust me, you'll like it. It's a great way to keep up on the cases. So check out the QR code. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.